Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. If you missed the first hour, you need to get it. Find out what God has said to Reinhard Bonnke about America. It's the same as what God said to Africa about him, and over 75, as reported, the 75 million Africans, that's a continent now, not just a nation, that's a continent, have gotten saved. And it just seems to be a crescendo taking place because it's rapid salvations that are taking place. Now Jesus is even appearing to people in the northern parts of Africa and so much more. I'm going to be talking about the wisdom moment in this extra hour, and also about burning passion. And if we get a chance, I want to be able to talk about running the race, about you know, how are we supposed to do this thing? How are we supposed to do this thing called our life, being a Christian? You know, what is God's perspective of what we're supposed to be doing? By the way, it's a good question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to start off with an assumption and find out you were wrong at the throne room of God. Whoops.
Oops.
You know,
Did I do that?
You know, and the reason why I wanted to talk about, you know, burning passion, and I guess I would think called hooked on a feeling. I guess if I was going to say something, it's hooked on a feeling. And there was a song years ago that was, the lyrics of the song was, I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm tired of believing that you're in love with me.
Wow.
I can't read my typing. Can you read that?
Wow. That's
writing or typing. Wow.
Hey, I just had a vacation. That was pretty cool.
Right?
It was pretty cool. Did I get sunburned or anything? I am back. This is the words. I'll just tell you the words the Lord spoke to me in my spirit is, hooked on a feeling, I'm tired of believing that Jesus is in love with me. And it's like, that's how the church has gotten to that point. It's like, make me feel something. I'm tired of believing. Just, you keep on telling me just to believe. Do I do these miracles amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe? And somebody else says, well, I'm tired of believing. Just, I want to feel better. I want to feel something. I want to feel a chill up my spine, you know. And God's probably saying, I want to see some movement in your feet.
Right. You know? I know.
But it's like, but America's hooked on a feeling. You know, it's an addicted culture of carnality of regards to my flesh has got to feel. If my flesh feels good, then I feel like God's for me. But it's like, you know, hooked on a feeling because I'm tired of believing that God's in love with me.
Mm.
And it's like, it's because you believe. It's not anything to do with the feeling. How do you think Paul felt when he's laying on a pile of rocks after being stoned because he told people about the love of God? How do you think Paul felt when he was in prison and sewer was running through the bottom of the prison where his feet was when he was in chains? I mean, was he hooked on a feeling? No, he was hooked in chains. He was writing the prison epistles. How do you think Paul felt when he was in a shipwreck? I mean, was he hooked on a feeling? Listen, America, I mean, we all want to feel good. I mean, think about it. We're the most prescription-using culture probably in the history of the world, you know, and probably pretty much in the past, they just didn't get a prescription for it. They just grew it. But either way, I mean, people want to feel good, but it's not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling. And when I was talking about, and I talked about recently, we're talking about soaking in faith, and I talked about incubating your faith, I talked about a burning passion, which is obviously can be tied into a feeling, but it's not a burning passion in the context of, you know, it was four components to, and you can you know, incubating your faith for a firm foundation, so you can go back and listen to it on the VFN Torch. But it's not about a feeling. It's about you first have a clear-cut vision, objective, you know, what you're believing God for. Secondly, you have to have a burning passion. Thirdly, you have to have permission, peace, and the timing of God. And then you got to begin to speak it out. But you have to understand, I was speaking of things that not yet exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you have children and your children are hungry and they're looking at you and saying, "Mother, could you give me some porridge?" You don't go, "I'm waiting for a burning passion."
Right.
But this is what the church does today. Mm. I mean, I'm not feeling it, so you're going to be hungry until I feel it.
Mm.
It's like, no, that's not what incubating faith for foundation is about. There's a huge need in a season of all creation that God has birthed you in to believe God for something that does not yet exist in the natural, and you're going to birth it into reality because you are a creative being created in the image and likeness of God, and you're going to walk through this process of incubating your faith. If you have children, feed them. If you have children, feed them. You don't need a burning passion to feed your children. You don't need a burning passion to be the husband that you're supposed to be to your wife. You don't need a feeling to be the husband, be the wife, you know, be the parent. You know, so many people just walk out of relationships because they don't feel it anymore, because they're hooked on a feeling and they're looking for another feeling, and they find out after finding another relationship that started off feeling carnality, flesh, that wanes out because all of a sudden there's not a feeling there anymore. All you have to do is do the reality of things. And so when I was talking about burning passion, hopefully these things will coexist in some sort of connection of incubating your faith, is when Jesus tells us to do something, we don't wait for a burning passion to do it. If he says, feed the hungry, don't wait for, I'm trying to, you know, break away from this television, I'm trying to break away from my convenience and my comfort, these big demons holding me captive here, to go do what God says, but he's going to give me a burning passion to break away from all this comfort and convenience. And then it's like, what?
Mm.
What have we come to that's how we define a burning passion? I need a burning passion just to be a believer.
Mm.
And so many people are not obeying God, blaming God now, because he did not give them a burning passion. That is not what I was talking about. What I was talking about, we're talking about something that does not yet exist.
Mm-hmm.
The hungry exist. The needy exist. Your fellowship of believers exists. Your nation exists. Everything around you exists. And God expects of you to function and to walk in obedience to him, feeling it or not, shipwrecked or not. It's called faith. That's called faith. Being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. It's not in the context of, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to know and test what God's will is, good and perfect, pleasing will. Living sacrifice, if you look that word up, what it means victim.
Mm.
Your flesh is not supposed to be happy.
Right.
Quit living your life going like, I want to feel it. I mean, you're not going to, you know, surrendering your body to the flames, you're not going to ever go, woohoo. But sometimes you just got to play the man, right?
That's right.
Polycarp. You know, being a parent all the time is not the easiest thing in the world. And you don't base it off of a feeling. If you do, you're going to be abusive. Do it because it's right. And discipling believers and raising the church up to be able to be launched into their destinies, you don't need a feeling for that. You don't need to burn in passion for that. You need to be obedient and do it. You need to do it. We need to teach people God's ways, disciple nations. Quit waiting. Quit being hooked on a feeling because you're tired of believing that what God set for us to do, that's what we're supposed to do. But if something does not yet exist, if it doesn't exist, and you are moving through the fundamentals of the four foundations, this that I talked about building your faith and walking it out, I mean, you're going to go through those processes, and yeah, I mean, you don't have a grid. I mean, I'm not talking about your children or your husband or your wife or the church or I'm talking about you're believing God for a third grade awakening. I'm talking about you're believing God for a major move that people have not yet even have a grid for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know, the fullness of something manifested that you're going to believe and hold on to and begin to see it come to pass. Yeah, you will learn these things in the smaller steps. And yeah, you will learn them, but it's not about the smaller steps. You're just learning the ways of God and how to walk and be creative in the things of God. But don't wait for a burning passion to feed your children. And don't wait for a burning passion to feed God's children. Begin to pour your life out. You work all week to fill your natural children. It's time for you to begin to work all week to feed God's children. It's time to begin to sow and give because it's the right thing to do. It's time to say, you know what? If I'm hooked on a feeling and I'm tired of believing, then my destiny might not be good. When I get to the throne room of God and I say, I didn't believe anymore because you didn't make me feel good anymore, that's not going to be good. Mm-mm. That's not going to be good. I remember a particular man that was going to a move of God. It was taking place, a powerful outpouring of God. And he was from a particular denomination that taught against God healing and God's power and God's glory. So he was a real sad person. And so he just goes and investigates it. He had, you know, the whole world was coming, so he needed to go check it out. And so he goes there, and he gets a chill that goes up his spine as he defines it. And he said, that's how God speaks to me. It's a chill up my spine.
Oh, gosh.
And that confirmed to me, which I'm thinking, he felt something. This is good. But this is his conclusion. Because I felt something, because I felt that was God telling me that this is not of God.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, my goodness. So, okay. He's going to continue to be sad. And then he has a daughter that's born, a child that's born. It was a daughter or son. With a deformity.
Wow.
Moved across the United States, far, far away. Hadn't talked to the person in a long, long time. But guess what? I got a phone call. See, when you don't need a miracle, you don't think you need nothing. Even though you say you have no need of nothing, but you're really poor, naked, and blind. But then you find out you're poor, naked, and blind. That you come to that encounter, you need Jesus. You don't believe in prophecy till you need a word.
I know that.
And he said, this Jesus, he heals? Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
It was so cool. Hey, that, you know, God accepts that. And, of course, we did, and I prayed for him, and he began to explore, and he changed his whole mindset and the concept. But he was hooked on a feeling. Hooked on a feeling. Some people are hooked on it. If you have any feeling at all, it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And some people say, if you had a feeling, it's God. And the truth is, it's not about a feeling at all. It's about believing. So if you just happen to feel something on the way of your faith journey of believing, thank God for it. But it shouldn't waver you one way or the other because God specifically says, this is how it should be. This is what marriage is. This is what family is. This is what the church is. This is what we're called to do. We're called to get thee up and go into all the world and to preach the gospel, tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ and let them know. He didn't say wait for a feeling. He said it's a commandment. It's a commandment. We don't pray about should we go. We pray about is it okay for us to stay? And if we do stay, where are we supposed to be activated here so we can serve our Lord, our Savior? So I just want to say, are you hooked on a feeling because you're tired of believing? You threw your faith out the door. And everybody's getting really sick and tired of you saying, I don't feel nothing yet. And it's like, it never was about that. The question is, do you believe something yet? Because you're saved by faith, not by feeling.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a great field trip idea for your kids? What about taking them to the landfill? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and Randy Alcorn believes that there's something very valuable to be learned by looking at piles of trash.
Look at the dump and now gaze at all the things that people paid a lot of money for. sometimes that people fought over, sometimes that marriages broke up over, and where are they now? They're in the dump. So from that object lesson, think in terms of what am I doing with my life right now that will outlive the dump, that will last for all eternity.
It's a good idea to keep an eternal perspective on money and on stuff. And you can hear more from Randy Alcorn today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And joining me is Pat and John.
You know, we were talking about in the first hour about revival and the Great Awakening and how we're believing for God to move powerfully in America. And I was abiding, the Lord reminded me about the day of the Lord. You know, the day of the Lord, the Bible says, he's going to come like a thief. He's going to come like a thief at a time that's unexpected. It's 2 Peter 3:10.
You may think about that, though. You might, a thief comes when you don't expect him.
Right. You're not planning.
And it's just like, how could that happen? I just left the house.
Right.
I just left the job. I just left my car. And they come and they take your GPS.
Yeah.
Right? And just takes it. It just happened, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how he's describing that. That's how he's describing his coming. Isn't that something?
It's a suddenly.
You're not going to be all this mental, you're going to have it all figured out like everybody says they do. It's like, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to know it happened if you go with him. But you're going to find out after a little bit if you didn't go with him, right?
So true.
The suddenly, man.
Whew. A quick suddenly. You know, we're living in a time where so much prophetic fulfillment. I mean, every year you turn around, every day, we're seeing so many things that are happening that God is doing and God's revealing on the earth today. And it's like this dot connects to this dot, connects to this dot, connects to that dot. And it's like, listen, you need to pay attention. You need to listen. We need to get this, because there's going to be a suddenly that's going to happen. And God's going to come back. I know you may not have been hearing this, but Jesus is coming back. And nobody knows the day or the hour.
Have you ever seen anybody that you're looking at them in a kind of a bright light, kind of hit them, and all of a sudden you just see their eye, just like a little, all of a sudden it's just like a twinkle just hits their eye and it's gone, like boom.
Mm.
He even says it'll be like the twinkling of an eye,
mm-hmm.
that quick.
Yeah.
But man, come quickly, Lord, right?
Wow, yeah.
I'm sorry
yeah.
about that. Talking, I interrupt yeah. you there, but I'm
no,
just like,
it's
like,
awesome.
I'm just getting excited. You getting excited?
Yeah.
I am so ready, right?
Listen, so, Lord, so come right now. I mean,
yeah,
come right now.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you look at, you know, we've been sharing about George Barna statistics and things he's been sharing. Listen, if only 19% of the church is actually reading the Bible, then you're not being prepared for the day of his coming. You're not being prepared. You don't know. And this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, we're going to live. You're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you're not abiding, how can you discern the seasons and the times in which we're living in? You have to know. And the Bible also says that whatever can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And you're going to see a lot of shaking going on. And not the shaking that you thought.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to interrupt again. I'm not going to interrupt again because I remember something from my past.
Not the shaking you were thinking about. Not that type of shaking. But there's going to be a shaking. And I'm telling you that if you are not tied down to God, if you're not united with him, if you're not one with him, whatever you've tied yourself to, you're going to shake right along with it. And it's time to cut your confidence if it's misplaced. If it's in people, things, stuff, the economy, my goodness, the government, you got to get, there's no confidence in all this. The only confidence we need to have is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, so that we can stand in that day. You know, the Bible continues to say that we need to be watchful. We need to be aware. And in Luke, the Word of God says, be dressed, be ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him.
It looks like, you know, what you're saying is we have to be constantly alert.
Constantly.
We can't just sit back and just go, whatever, whatever. I mean, keeping your lamp burning. I mean, it sounds like abiding to me that you got to have the oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just... so many people don't even have a flicker going on.
Well, the first thing is you got to be ready. That's the first thing. You got to be ready. You got to get dressed.
In season and out.
In season and out, and you got to be dressed. Remember in the parable that there was a man who didn't have the wedding garments. He wasn't dressed. So he was out.
Even though he was invited to church.
Oh, yes.
He sat in the front row. When Jesus showed up on the final day, he said, you don't have the garment of salvation. You're not saved.
You're not saved.
Which means you're just because you got invited to church and you showed up and you might be teaching in the Sunday school class or whatever, you know, or maybe singing. Maybe you got a talent and you're singing and people are pumped up because they like your talent. It doesn't mean you're saved yet. You're not wearing that garment.
Let me tell you something. We
got to be ready.
We share about this a lot, but I'm telling you that I just had another encounter with someone, and I'm sharing the gospel and just talking, and I just realized, you know, just because someone has religion, you can't confuse religion with relationship.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's like, come on now.
Da-da-da, you're like, oh.
Like, do you even know this Jesus? You know, what has this come to?
Yeah.
Where the church has been seen as a social institution where you can just come with... oh, yeah, they'll give you school supplies and food. Yeah, it's right. Like, what in the world?
That's right.
Listen.
And crucify you if you don't have some sort of community project.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's this whole social outreach, and it's like, listen.
You don't remember Jesus' fair? He had like a fair, a carnival thing going.
No, carnival, is that what that was? I didn't see that in anywhere in the Bible. But then again, if only 19% are actually reading the Bible, then maybe they thought the one was in there, but... it's not. It's not. It's not a social gospel. And listen, it's not, you know, you have to be able to distinguish between religion and relationship. Religion is having a form of godliness and doing, you know, quote unquote, maybe what looks churchy, you know, but it's not God. You need to have a relationship with the Lord, and you need to know. Forget what somebody else tells you. You need to know, like the sky's blue and the grass is green, that you know God and that God knows you. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a knowing because you got to be ready. You got to be dressed with a garment of salvation. And you have to be ready for service. Listen, those that love God want to do something for God. It's the byproduct. When you're in love with God and you have a relationship with the Lord, that overflowing of love causes you to want to say, what can I do for you? Not because doing something for him earns you anything. It's just out of gratitude, out of a thankful heart. God, what would you want me to do for you? And then he talks about having the burning lamp. And you were talking about earlier, Greg, it's about having that abiding relationship with the Lord, keeping your lamp full, keeping your lamp bright, and being a guardian and a keeper of the flame. Listen, the Lord is coming back. And I think about in the days of Noah, the Bible says that they didn't even know. They didn't even know that the flood was coming until it actually came. Up until the day Noah entered the ark, they knew nothing.
They dialed him out and thought nothing. He was a fool. And he preached, for 125 years?
Something like that. Long time.
Long time. With no converts.
No converts.
But it was all God.
100%.
Yeah.
And up until the very moment, they had no idea that the flood was about to come and take them away. Listen, don't be taken away in the flood. Don't be taken away when things are shaking and going down. Listen, that's not going to be the time to start trying to figure out, where am I in this? You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be a rapid thing. And you want to know that you're in, that you're not out. And the time is now. Listen, when the Lord comes back, what is he going to find? Is he going to find you dressed and ready and with grape stains on your hands and vineyard dirt under your feet? Or are you going to be found outside with no garments? No garments of salvation. Listen.
Empty lamps.
Yeah.
No trim wicks.
Yeah. Boasting, thinking you got light. You have no light.
Right. And it's so important. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's not a religious complicated thing. This is what John is talking about, what we always talk about. All you have to do is abide.
That's it.
And you can go to iabide.org and start walking what he's talking about. If you just abide, you're gonna be full of oil. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a torch burning in your life. And your wick's going to always be trimmed. And you're walking with God. It's not something like, oh, I got to do something, No, right. Just got to abide, man. Ma'am, you just got to abide. And that's what he's talking about. Because you think about somebody probably put some religious on you and go, oh, I got to go do something. Yeah.
Right.
You got to go hang out with Jesus. It's called abiding.
That's right. And when you hang out with him, you can't help but to fall in love with him and to give him your life. And not only that, but you look at ways at how you can return this gratitude of love, how you can do something for him. Listen, the time is short. The day of the Lord, he can come back at any moment. Be ready today. Decide today that you're not only going to give him your life 100%, that you're not going to have religion, you're not going to have a form of godliness, but that you want the real deal. You want to know the Lord. And if you know Jesus today, are you in his service? Are you laying it all down? Because when he comes back, you want to be found. You want to be found dressed in salvation and working in the Father's vineyard. That's what it's all about.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Talking about texting, And we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
That's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds. And I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. We got to, you know, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus
on it. He does really good.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if you'll notice that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Sort of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Right. He's like, I didn't know about that one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Cheat?
Yeah.
No Jew? Nope. Don't do? And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. That kind of goes like this, cheat? Nope. Don't do?
All right.
I that was the final thing. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
Sophisticated. Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I want to be able to talk about the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment for today. And, of course, as we said earlier, wisdom is knowledge properly applied. I mean, God is wisdom. But I'm reading the proverb from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. It reads, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, and let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our house with plunder. Cast lots with us and we'll all share in this loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood and how useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. And it's like today, when you hear us talk about, it's just business. This is the very first proverb in the book of Proverbs talking about ill-gotten gain. I mean, you can take the first part of what I was reading slowly to you and say, you know what? That sounds like somebody trying to get me in this particular business deal. But you got to ask the right questions. Is it legal? Are we bilking people here? Are we taking advantage of them? Are we asking for exorbitant prices that's unfair? When we finish this business transaction, will they be worse off than they were in the beginning, or will they be blessed because of the encounter that took place? Well, these guys would say, it doesn't matter. We're going to do these folks in. Don't you understand? We don't even care if their blood is let over this. We don't even care. We'll hide out and we'll wait for them to come and we'll rob them. I mean, think about all the people today in the mindset. This is ill-gotten gain, money gotten in a way that was ill. It was wrong in the way that it was gotten. You may be working with a company or a business. You may have a business. But it's dawned on you at some point that this is not right. But maybe you're doing like so many people are doing today. But I got to have a job. I mean, I got to have an income. But understand, God is not pleased and will not bless and will not accept you oppressing people your entire life just so you can have milk on your cereal. He'd rather you have a crumb of bread and be struggling for your existence than to make 100 people struggle for their existence and have a crumb of bread because you took their money through ill-gotten ways. Ill-gotten gain. So many people are wanting to make money on money and all these other kind of things going on. And it's like the church has totally slipped the whole concept of going like, we got to care about folks. We got to care about folks. We shouldn't be thinking like how we can have, if our poorest people are richer than 80% of the world, that means the majority of America is richer probably than 5 or 3% of the world. And it's like, we got to be careful. How are we managing that which God has given to us? And how you do business matters. It matters how you do business. It matters if you're not being upfront and you got such small print that you know that lady can't read that small print and you just kind of brush over that fact. You should just lay it out there. Trust God. Lay everything out there. Let them know what's going on and let them make a decision. But don't be hiding things and putting things in contracts that people can't find. You know, and don't make money off other people's losses. It's not okay. It's not okay if you see people that are, I mean, we think about it. You know, what we've done in America, in a lot of states now, maybe every state, that we decided to pay for our education with monies that come from gambling, from lotteries. So you have these folks who are struggling, trying to make a living, and they just have a couple of dollars, and I want to get some hope, and they start paying money into the education for your kid in hopes that they might get some winning pot. You know, and of course, just one or two win. But everybody, you know, makes money off that ill-gotten gain, and that person, the majority of those folks, needed that money. They had this hope, and it's like, we're making money. We're educating our kids on ill-gotten gain. I mean, think about it. Why don't we just pay for what we want, what we're using? Why do we have to manipulate people to the point where we stir their false hopes up and say, we'll take them, we'll spread this net out here called the state lottery, and they'll all play it, and you know, 1 out of 1 million people will get something out of it. And everybody else will take their money and we'll educate our kids with it. I mean, that's ill. You know, it's like, why don't we just pay for our kids' education? Why don't we just tax the appropriate amount of money? Why do we have to bilk people You know what I'm saying? Why do we have to build people? Now, if we didn't tie that into education and there was a lottery going on, well, that's just people playing a lottery or whatever. But we're actually educating our kids based off somebody's
loss.
That's a big difference. And complaining about how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many business deals? How many people take advantage of people? And I talk about it quite often called the deal. And people just brag about the deal they got. And it's like, but how do that? Can I talk to the other person in this deal? How do they feel?
Right.
Well, you know, they just should have asked the right questions. They didn't ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. Well, you should have volunteered all that. But when you openly talk about these things, you're trusting God. When you hide them, you're trusting your own ways. And this way, it would be ill-gotten increase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's perfect. We're not seeing things work out well. But if you intentionally are laying in wait to take that which belongs to another, that's ill-gotten gain. And what he says about that very specifically, he says, and he's telling us, the wisdom says, my son, don't go along with them. Don't even set your foot on the paths. For their feet rush into evil. They're swift to shed blood. It's amazing how many people don't care that the widow woman's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care that she can't pay her light bill because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Predatorial lending taking place. Ma'am, just put a mortgage on your house. Put a mortgage on it just so you can get a 2% bonus on your check while she's wrapped with a 20-year mortgage that she couldn't afford.
And the house that she's going to lose.
And then here comes Mr. Reverse mortgage dude, and all of a sudden he's going to wrap her up for the rest of her life and own her house the moment she goes on to be with the Lord.
Mm.
Then you have a little small clause in it that says, and some of those, that if she doesn't pay her taxes, you take it anyway, even when she's alive. And it's like, what have we come to?
Mm.
What have we come to? Listen, God is the provider. All things come from God. We're not perfect. You're not going to have what everybody else has. You're going to have what God's given you. It could be more, it could be less. But you can be satisfied with what God has given you. If you honor God with what he's given you with the first fruits, if you just say, Lord, I acknowledge you're the one that gave me this increase. You're the one that blessed the work of my hands. We quite often call that the tithe, but it's the first fruits of it, and give it to God and say, God, here. Thank you for what you've given me. God said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. You don't have to be scamming everybody and doing people and have this ill-gotten gain. Begin to follow God. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 19. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive. Like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder.
Mm.
Cast lots with us, and we'll all share in the money and the stuff and the things. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it.
You know, we've been talking about a prayer that we've been praying. And we've been sharing about what God's been doing as a result of that, of our prayers and the prayers of many, you know, believers all across the country. We've been praying this prayer, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And we've been sharing quite a bit of just different news and different laws that are being passed. And there's a three-pronged plan. It's just a strategic plan to really see this come to an end. I mean, you're looking at 50+ million children that have been aborted and killed since 1973 when Roe v. Wade actually made it legal. in the eyes of man, it's still illegal and murderous in the eyes of God to kill and abort a baby. Well, you remember some time ago, there was an abortionist in Orlando, Pendergraph, James Pendergraph. He was shut down. They confiscated his stuff, and they took it all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the clinic is back up.
No.
Yes, it's back up, and this is really horrific. On their website, they're actually advertising Orlando's Women's Center. You can save $50 with a web coupon.
I mean, look, web coupon?
Look what this has come to. I mean, it's just horrific. I mean, you really think about it. What does this come to when you can offer a web coupon to get an abortion, to murder a child, only on Sundays? Sundays only.
Are you serious?
I am so serious. And the coupon says one coupon per patient. I mean, this is just evil. Now get this. He is no longer practicing, this abortionist.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's done, he's brought on six other abortionists to work in his clinic to perform these abortions. I mean, this abortionist was hit with a $36 million malpractice suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just continues to kind of keep going. And you look at just how horrific, how horrible this is. And we're talking about ill-gotten gain, my goodness, in business.
Wow.
He understands, you know, they ask him, how are you, you know, doing this? What's the deal? How is it that you know, you're back in this? And he says, well, I just got back to business as usual. This was his quote now. When they asked him, I just got back and do business as usual. And you're thinking, my goodness, listen, we are killing children in this country, and now we're offering a $50 coupon. $50 coupon where you can get a discount on a Sunday only, one coupon per patient. Wow. I mean, does anyone not see that this is wrong?
Yes.
This is horrible. This is horrible. And they're advertising, obviously, no judgments, women only. We have staff that care for you. We're not going to judge you and all this different type of stuff. And it's like,
isn't that weird? The dichotomy of the whole thing is that we're caring for people while we're actually killing people.
Killing people, right,
like,
yeah.
Wow. There's so many lies being told today. It's just like, where is the truth? You couldn't think this many lies could actually be told. And the thing about it is, most who buy into the lie know it's a lie. It just benefits them.
They just need something to believe. Lie to believe. Anything that will pacify my conscience. But the truth is, it's not going to pacify your conscience before God. I mean, there's studies that show that women who have suffered horrifically years of torment. That's why Wisconsin just passed that law that basically says that every abortion that's going to take place, everyone's going to have an abortion, she must have an ultrasound so she can know, have full disclosure, exactly what is in her womb. I mean, you have abortionists that are telling women that it's just a tissue. No, it's a baby. It's a baby. We have video you can see on the torch that actually shows you what a 20-week-old fetus looks like. But let me tell you something. I mean, fingers, they feel pain. It's astonishing. It's half the full term. It's 20 weeks. And you can look at this baby and say, my goodness. And we need to start sharing with others. We really need to start sharing the reality. And what you're seeing is a wave across the country where eyes are beginning to open. You're seeing laws that are beginning to change. You're seeing businesses that are being shut down. Abortion clinics that are closing because they're going after the money. I mean, there's one of the strategies is that a lot of these abortions that are taking place are because of these young girls that have been violated by some man, and they've gotten pregnant, and they're under the age, they're children, they're teenagers, and these abortionists that are conducting abortions, but they're not reporting to the police that this man impregnated this child, basically. Well, hello, that's against the law. And so there's an organization out of Texas that has put all these attorneys They will put all the commercials out and everything. They're just getting behind them to say, listen, we're going to end this. We're going to end this. We're going to stop this bloodletting. How are we going to see a great move of God happen across this country when we're offending God and we've got blood on our hands and we've turned the cheek? And we've turned the cheek. And I'll tell you that we need to be for the whole life. We need to be for the whole child. From the time that the child's born until that child gets in trouble. It's amazing that, you know, you can have a religious spirit and look down at someone. And I was like, wait a second. This young lady, this couple, they kept the child. Let's do what we can do to help them come to know Christ. Help this child not be a statistic. And what maybe came out of a bad situation, let's believe that God's going to turn it for good.
Yeah. And understanding that, too, because this is where a lot of folks do. They hear that and go, well, you know, that's them and not me.
Right.
But let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. This is what God told Josiah. Israel's gone.
Mm.
Or you would say America's gone because of this innocent bloodshed.
Yeah.
There's too much bloodshed. So if we want to keep America, this has got to end. Just for selfish reasons alone, you cannot divide yourself from what's happening in your land that's a government by the people and for the people, which means God sees you and me and us as the leaders here.
That's right.
We're actually loaning or hiring people, if you would, 530-some-odd people to go to Washington, D.C., to work under us and represent us there. And we're telling them presently, because that they're voting in the way that we are actually asking to vote, that, you know, whatever, no big deal. Big deal, lose country. If you lost Israel, you can lose America. The innocent bloodshed. Dear God, end abortion, sin, revival. Well, I want to mention briefly about the original tent of America. We don't get a chance to get back much on that. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. I'm going to ask you guys a question since y'all were so well studied now.
That seems like...
I gave you a lot of time to study on the pocket constitution that you guys carry around with you.
Oh.
And you see, mine's all worn out and all that kind of stuff. And I could see... Well, I can't see yours now, but... I'm going to ask you, you know, a very important amendment. And you have to understand that... Do you know what year? Do you know... Never mind. Don't even have to ask that question. Just bringing that up.
I'm not going to break. Pat, go ahead.
Go for it.
He already answered it already.
Come on. Okay, the forehead. Yeah.
He answered it. He says he's saying it. Well, you know, obviously when the Constitution was first written the Declaration of Independence was... The Declaration of Independence was... Hold on a minute.
1776.
There we go. Right.
Hey.
Well, listen.
I had to pull from the archive.
There you go.
Yeah, it was downloading.
It was downloading.
We're going to give you time to think. Okay. We're obviously going to give you time to think because that took a lot of time. So we're going to do something while you're thinking. We're just going to hear this slow tune to kind of fill in the awkwardness of you not knowing the answer. And if you get it right, we always heard what you hear, right? But if you get it wrong...
Did you sign up for this game?
And if you're waiting too long...
That means you're buffering.
That's your buffering.
You're buffering, yeah. You're
buffering there. So here's the question. Here's the question. You can look at the other one you didn't answer. But if it's 1776, so obviously they declared that they're going to have a separation from the king... Now we got to begin to have a constitution. So obviously they didn't write that simultaneously.
No.
That came a little bit later on. And so not only that, but in addition, the Bill of Rights, the Bill of Civil Rights, didn't come immediately. The amendments, we talk, you know, the Bill of Rights, First Amendment. They came, so which means is, you know, everybody thinks, well, this just happened in 1776 and 1778 is what I believe that the Constitution. But you can correct me, John, if I'm wrong in the context of that. But what I'm understand, this came way down the road, and this will prove it, because I'm going to ask you what a particular amendment is. Are you Googling?
He's Googling.
It's
right.
1787.
Lord. It's 1787. Yeah, a little dyslexic there, but 1787. Okay, stop. Look away.
I think.
Look away. Look away from Google. Look away. We don't look.
Come on, tighten up.
Here is somebody unplug all of his stuff over there. Okay, listen.
Hold on.
This right. Look, look.
I'm here. I'm here.
Away from the screen.
Okay. So then this is down the road. So some people say, well, it's always been this way or that way. No, it hasn't. Things unfolded over time, and we made amendments to the Constitution. We made a First Amendment. We made a Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get the dates on the first 10, but I believe they came like way, like 1890-something or 18. That was amazing how far along they came. 17, whatever. We'll figure that out. We're learning as we go, obviously.
Obviously.
But it didn't happen like the day they signed the Declaration of Independence. All of a sudden, everything was done.
Right.
They began a journey, an experiment, if you would. Well, out of the amendment. Quit looking,
1787.
Quit looking
just
over
to
there.
We got it. We
quit
got
looking
it.
Over there. Okay, we got good time. Quit all looking. Right, his right. eyes are just glued over there. Pull his plug. Pull his plug.
I'm about to.
Anyway, so here's the question. This is the question. The million-dollar question.
Hmm.
What is the 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution? What is the 15th Amendment? I mean, you don't have to know it by heart. Just what is the 5th Amendment about? John.
He's Googling.
Pat, I'm deferring. Okay. I'm deferring here, to you on the.
I don't want to embarrass you.
Embarrassment. This is like a tournament. The what, John?
Yes, what, yes.
Today's question from Amendment. The original 10 of the United States. What? I mean, just got to just hint. Anywhere in there?
I don't know what the 15th Amendment is.
What is the 15th Amendment? This is the 15th Amendment. Section 1 is the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on the account of race, color, or privilege, condition of servitude. And then Section 2 of that is the Congress shall have the power to enforce that. It wasn't until the 15th Amendment that people could not be forced not to vote based on the color of their skin. That's how long it took. Mm. That's how bad our history is and some of the things that happened. It was the 15th Amendment, and it's like, man, we got to re-understand.
That's a lot of time.
If I'm a person of color and I've come up through several generations in this nation, I could tell you what the 15th Amendment is. Because my great grandmother or my grandmother's telling me that they would not let my grandmother's telling me they wouldn't even let her vote. And so it gives us a little bit of empathy to the folks today who are walking this out. They realize, hey, my goodness, say what you want to, but it wasn't until the 15th Amendment did you even recognize the fact that you gotta get these guys they're forcing us to pay poll taxes, standing outside with all kinds of weapons, making us feel all uncomfortable and stuff. You know, preventing us from going to schools to be able to be able to read to the point where we can actually read the ballots and know who we're. I mean, all these things are coming against them, and that's why it wasn't just till recently, by the way, just recently in the last couple of months, did they back off some laws that they had where the Congress was regulating in the South how this was taking place because of what happened in the past. But they just backed off those laws just recently because things. They said had gotten better in the South. That's the 15th Amendment, the original 10 of the United States.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.